Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the hottest youth football talk show in the entire world, Hotbed Radio. From Miami to Malibu, it's the nation's leading multimedia platform, Football Hotbed and Hotbed Radio. Hotbed Radio interviews the nation's best coaches and youth football players and covers youth football from A to Z from across the world, because it's a hotbed world. Your host, Brandon O'Doy, is now ready to go. Hello, Brandon.
Yours truly, Brandon O'Doy, holding it down every Monday night, the nation's leading multimedia platform for youth football, footballhotbed.com. You're listening to the nation's best youth football program, Hotbed Radio. Brandon O'Doy, sue me for what, Mr. Youth Football, logged in on a Monday night, 8:30 p.m. We do this every Monday, round the clock, round the year, 365. Great show planned for you tonight. Got some awesome things planned as far as youth football is concerned. Getting ready for our West Coast trip, going out to Scottsdale, Arizona on Sunday, April the 26th. But before that, we got to stop in Southern California, the Upland Combine, Upland, California. April 25th, we'll take some awesome, amazing, great prospects to UCLA spring game early in the morning, 7 a.m., and then we'll get ready for the West Coast Super Regional Combine. Coach Thomas Fleming, Football Hotbed West Coast Director, is leading the show out there. Great combine, over 200 athletes registered, and then afterwards we'll get into an amazing invitational 7-on-7 tournament, and we're going to have the best teams on the West Coast. I'm talking about real speed. I'm talking about the IE Duck. Hey, it's going down, Team Blackout, all those teams representing on the West Coast after our combine out there this coming Saturday. I can't wait. My flight leaves on Friday. I'm getting ready, getting tuned in, and getting ready to turn up. It's going to happen this weekend. Got some exciting things tonight I want to talk about. Speaking of 707, I want to bring on Dave Menard of Arrow Sports, who is launching something very, very exciting when it comes to middle school and youth football, a national 7-on-7 circuit that's getting ready to kick off here in the state of Florida in Kissimmee up in the Orlando area coming up in June. I'm going to let him talk more about that in just a few moments. But locally here in South Florida, one of the nation's leading and largest youth football organizations down here in South Florida, and one of the toughest, the actual most competitive league, in my view, my opinion, is going through a lot of growing pains right now. That's the Florida Youth Football League. And they're dealing with some things tonight, and they're going to be in a situation where probably going to have to do some restructuring when it comes to their bylaws, and they're taking a vote right now as we speak. Hopefully we get somebody to call in and talk to us about that entire situation, and we're looking forward to that. But first, I want to go out to the next play guest lines and talk to Dave Menard of Arrow Sports, somebody I've known for many years. Log on to next-play.net for all your combine and tryout needs. It's, of course, the clipboard-free way to handle your tryouts and your combine. We would thank the good folks at NestPlay. But talking to Dave Menard now. Dave, welcome into Hotbed Radio. It's the Hotbed World. Man, what's going on a Monday night?
Brandon, thanks for having me on. You know, we're excited right now. We're launching our Adidas State Championship Series, 7-on-7 State Championship Series, Georgia, Louisiana, and Florida, all at the same time, all in the month of June. And we'll have our Southeast Regional Championship also in July. So we're excited to launch the middle school and the high school youth, you know, 7-on-7 stuff.
Absolutely. Talking to Dave Menard of Arrow Sports. Arrow, really a leader, Dave, in 7-on-7. And I remember all the way back in the early 2000s, early 2010s, I guess, Arrow was really right there when it came to 7-on-7 and really had a beat on this earlier than anybody in Florida, that's for sure, and got to be among the leaders in the nation. Just talk about how you guys have evolved as a company and where you are now and what your focus is on with the 7-on-7, particularly as it relates to youth and middle school athletes.
Well, Brandon, that's a great question because, you know, we've been at this about 6-7 years. You know, I was fortunate enough to be out in Texas to watch how they put together their 7-on-7. I came back to Florida. We really didn't have anything structured, you know, mostly at the high school level and the youth level. And that was my vision. I wanted to bring that same 7-on-7 platform, tweak it a little bit that could fit well in Florida. Like I said, we've been running this thing for about 6-7 years down here in South Florida. We've expanded now to multiple states. And we're fortunate enough to sign on with a great apparel line like Adidas and all that they're doing to support this movement. You know, we're going to have, you know, coming from the all-star, coming from the high school level, it's strictly scholastic prep schools, teams playing with their coaches. They have to be in their schools. But from the youth side, because middle school football is not prominent throughout the state of Florida or many others, we allow teams to build within the park, you know, or all-star type teams where they get about 12 to 15 kids together, their top 7-on-7 players, and then they take them on the road to play against the best best of the best.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing concept. And for so long, these youth really haven't had the platform to really, really go and show what they can do and promote themselves on the youth level. So thanks to you guys for establishing that. This is very exciting stuff. And getting Adidas involved, we know what Adidas is doing for the high school level, but can you talk just a little bit about the youth teams and the middle school teams when they sign up, what they can expect from your Adidas sponsorship when they get into these tournaments?
Yes, the top 32 teams that will be in Florida in Orlando for the state championship will get custom-fitted jerseys with accessories. So they're getting, I know they're getting like the wristbands, the backpacks, the, you know, I want to say it's $150 worth of gear each kid's going
nice
to walk home with. And the top four teams from Florida will also get a free berth to the Southeast Regional Championship, which will be held in July in Tallahassee. And they'll compete against the top four from Louisiana and the top four from Georgia, where Adidas will outfit every child on that team from cleats, socks, jerseys, gloves, you name it, $300+ worth of gear every kid is on the team is going to get.
I love it. The value there is so tremendous. And just go ahead and let us know, Dave, you know, for these coaches that are listening in that have middle school teams that they want to enter into this 7-on-7 state tournament, or these youth teams that are getting involved that are being put together, you know, the youth teams that play during the year, what is the registration cost and, you know, how they can get signed up for this?
Well, the fee is $4.99 for a team. They're guaranteed 6 games. They'll play 4 games in pool play on Saturday, June 20th, and they'll follow up that following day with a minimum of 2 games in the playoff bracket on Sunday, and that's in Kissimmee, Florida. Website's www.aiiro7v7.com. And they can go on the website, get information about the event, about the Southeast Regional event, about the gear, and obviously they can follow us on, you know, on Twitter at Aero7v7, you know, or they can check, you know, obviously check us out at Football Hotbed. We'll be out and about, and the youth programs, like we know, you guys can build your own teams within your park, put the top 15 kids together, and get out there and compete. There's going to be teams from all around the state of Florida, you know, all trying to be that state champion.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just an amazing situation there where you have this Southeast Regional Combine and then you get a chance, the Southeast Regional situation. But first you start out in the States and then you get a bid if you're the top four to get the Southeast Regional crown. You got Georgia, Florida, and Louisiana mixed in. Obviously, you're getting ready to expand. This is just the beginning. Where are you going next, probably in 2016? I know you already have designs for that, so just give us a little peek into the plans that you have for expansion for next season when it comes to this entire Aero 7-on-7 circuit.
Well, we're definitely going to grow out the Southeast. We already have deals in the works that will expand throughout the Southeast, up the Atlantic coast, and we will be heading out west as well. So, like I said, Adidas is really, really supportive of this movement, and they know that we're a leader nationwide, and they want to see something come together on a regional, a national platform. And, you know, one other thing that, you know, I don't want to miss as we're talking, because I know you guys do a great job of exposure for these athletes. And most people think that they got to get to high school before they really need to go get that exposure. But it's so important these days to get that exposure early on, to be seen by a lot of this. And, you know, there's no better way, both from a skill set of what these kids are going to learn playing on 7-on-7, if that's with us or another 7-on-7 group, these coaches and these athletes should be finding 7-on-7 tournaments, finding 7-on-7 leagues to hone in their skills. And, you know, obviously we're doing things on a larger scale, but there's 7-on-7 events, you know, right around the corner all the time that these kids are going to get a lot better.
Right.
We're going to give that exposure piece so these kids can be seen and they can be talked about, kind of like what you guys do. And, I mean, what better way to come out to a football field and see the best talent in the Southeast all competing, which you can start building that lineup and talking to everybody about these kids.
No, absolutely. And Football Hotbed will definitely be at a lot of these regional contests and, you know, making plans to cover these because, like you said, it's an amazing group of talent to get all of these top-named teams and kids all in one place competing on the same platform. And that's one of the things I think you guys are really going to attract a lot of people, particularly at the high school level, but especially for youth as well. And the exposure is key. And, Dave, you and I have talked about this a million times. A lot of times parents and kids think it's too early in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, even 4th and 5th, to begin making a name for their athletes. The reality of the situation is, and what we preach and teach at Football Hotbed is, listen, there are about 3,200 Division I scholarships, maybe roughly 3,300, you know, as it's all said and done. You're competing with
not only high school seniors from across the nation, but also junior college guys and guys who are transferring, walk-ons who are trying to earn scholarships. If you want to go Division One, particularly as a quarterback, it's very, very difficult. You need high exposure. A guy I'm thinking about, Dave, and you may know this kid as well or know of him, is a guy named Tate Martell, who went from being a very big, hyped-up youth football name and then got over to Bishop Gorman, is now their starting quarterback, and he's been offered all kinds of scholarships, and he's already been made a U.S. Army All-American. And the kid is literally 5'10", 5'11", which typically you would never see a kid that young, only played, you know, 2 years, his sophomore year, already offered. But it's because he's uber exposed and has been since he's been in middle school. And it's, you know, the colleges are responding and they're offering him. And you got to say that exposure, especially on the 707 circuit, had a lot to do with that.
That you're 100% right, and that's it's so important for these kids and the parents to get these kids active in this. And, you know, with us talking to the NCAA on a lot of the things that we do and talking with a lot of the colleges and stuff, these college coaches now are watching not just game film of tackle football, but they're watching game film of 7-on-7. They want to see, you know, you look at a high school that doesn't, you know, run the wing tee, they don't throw the ball a lot. And you know, those receivers are getting out there in the 7-on-7, and these coaches are now able to watch and take a look at these kids to see what they're able to do and while putting those situations. And a lot of the times you're putting a top-level DB against a top-level, you know, wide receiver, and these coaches have an opportunity to grade those kids out. It's just another tool for these kids to go out and, one, have a lot of fun. I mean, 7-on-7 is a great sport. It's a lot of fun. It's a less tolling on their body, so they don't take the pounding. And but the other hand is they're going to get the exposure. They're going to get the work in. And you just made a great point. I mean, that kid right there, I've seen, you know, great things happen to him, and I know a lot of that stuff had to do with the sport of 7-on-7.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to single Tate Martell out. I mean, he's a great player. But typically a guy his size, especially this early, does not get a college offer. And it's all about how exposed he is. I mean, from the television show to, you know, being on the, you know, with the Snoop Dogg situation and being his quarterback, he being a receiver, the guy just had a lot of opportunities to get in front of eyes. And I think that's what you and your partner, Rich McGinnis, are offering, Dave. I'm excited about Arrow 7-on-7. I've known about you and Arrow for many years. I know the groundwork you put in. The Adidas sponsorship is tremendous. The value of $4.99 a team and $150 worth of gear, which is basically more. You're getting more in gear than you're paying for. It's incredible, man. I love value-added events. I definitely am looking forward to the event in Kissimmee. And Football Hotbed will be there to cover, so we're excited. And everybody in Hot Bear World, before you go, we always say, give us your shouts out and let everybody know who you're representing tonight. So I'll give you that opportunity before we get off the air with you on tonight.
Thank you, Brandon.
No, go ahead and give your shouts out. I'm sorry.
Just want to let you guys know, www.arrow7v7.com is where you can find us. Hopefully you guys get out there. We'd love to see you guys as one of those 32 teams in Kissimmee, and love to see you guys in Tallahassee at the Southeast Regional. Keep your eyes on us.
Absolutely. That's Dave Menard, Arrow Sports. Check him out at arrow7v7.com. Dave, thanks for joining us. All right, man, listen, it's very exciting stuff. It really is, getting into the 7-on-7 circuit. I think 7-on-7 football is really cool. And to Dave's point, what he said is absolutely true. A lot of the colleges are looking at film from 7-on-7 because they know that the kids are playing high-level competition, especially in these all-star circuits. But in this circuit that Arrow is doing, which is comprised of, you know, actual roster teams from high schools and middle schools and youth all-star teams, these are going to be situations where colleges are really going to like this because they know that the best of the best are signing up and getting involved. It's NCAA sanctioned, meaning, You know, they're not going to be any street agents or funny guys walking around these kids. It's really special, and I'm excited about what Arrow's going to do. A lot of people don't know Arrow has been really at the top of the leaderboard in the game when it comes to 7-on-7, and they've been down here in South Florida and been doing their thing. They have an awesome league that they run here locally for youth football athletes, so I know a lot of them will be in Kissimmee come June. Kissimmee, of course, is just right up the road from Orlando, about a 25-minute drive, not even. And so Football Hotbed will definitely be there, so we're excited about that. As I mentioned before, I'm going to try to get somebody on tonight to talk to us about what's going on in the Florida Youth Football League and everything regarding this whole bylaw situation. And just to let you know, I think this is a national youth football story. That's why I'm bringing this up. It's one of those situations where what's happening with the Florida Youth Football League is that they are now saying, there are now roughly 17 to 20 teams in, and now the issue has become teams and coaches want to go from other teams in the league to new teams, and it's becoming a scenario where there are bylaws in place that are preventing these moves, and they want to fine coaches and suspend players for the year if they transfer teams. Now, me, I understand why it's done. It breaks teams down. It also breaks down programs when teams and coaches want to leave. And there are other leagues down here that prevent you from doing so. Typically, the AYFL, they allow you one move during your AYFL career, meaning you can start at Park A and move to Park B, but you cannot go to Park C, which is different from A and B. You can only return and go back to your original Park A. One of the reasons I think AYFL does that is because what they want to try to prevent is the breakdown of the leagues and the parks. See, if you take an entire team from Part A to Part B, Part B is going to benefit, but Part A is left without kids coming up to the new age division. And so they basically got to start from scratch, and you run the risk of not fielding a team at the age division from the departed team. So FYFL has now met a crossroads with the entrance of Lauderhill out of the Fort Lauderdale general area, a little west of Fort Lauderdale for our national audience to give you an idea. Lauderhill has come into the league. They also have some new teams coming into the league. And one of the issues with Lauderhill is Lauderhill is a team that they have been associated with these group of teams that all came from the South Florida Youth Football League. But now they participated in Pop Warner on last year. They broke their two-year contract. They're coming back into the FYFL. Well, a lot of the kids that wanted to play in the FYFL, we call it the Flow League, which is, you know, again, one of the most competitive, if not the most competitive league here in South Florida. A lot of the Lauderhill kids wanted to participate, so they did not follow the club to Pop Warner. Instead, they went to new clubs like Lauderdale Lake and Fort Lauderdale Hurricane in order to play in the league. The purpose of playing in the league is there are all kinds of perks. They play on Monday nights. They have major videos. They have a television series. A lot of times they have all-star games where they travel out to California to play Snoop Dogg. Flo Rida, the pop artist, of course, is single out, is my house. It's all over the internet. It's all over TV and the NBA playoffs, things like that. It was featured during the NCAA tournament. He's a guy that's over the league. It's run by his manager and a president, Martin Maltby. They're now, you know, at a crossroads because they have to sit there and figure out the deal here. Are we going to allow this transfer to happen? Because, see, now the Lauderhill kids that went other places, they want to go back to where Lauderhill started. They want to go back to Lauderhill and play football, where the parks that they went to say, no, no, you're at our park now. You can't leave. And it's causing all this turmoil and distraction. So, it's one of those situations where I'm anxious to see what they're going to do, but I'm an American. And what I mean by that is I'm for free choice. Now, I know it doesn't necessarily make for a great league, but I am for the concentration of youth football leagues and organizations. If the league cannot sustain itself or the team cannot, you know, or the organization cannot sustain itself, cannot recruit new players, and is not, you know, where they need to be, then I'm for shutting it down. I really am. And it's one of those situations where I think that, you know, we have to shut down the organizations that are not viable, the organizations that are not, you know, doing the things that they need to do to recruit the players, to really get the players, the key players that they need to fill all of the age divisions. In other words, if you're a losing program and you're losing kids and you're not able to attract big-name coaches, it may be time for you to reevaluate, you know, where you are. And that's the real issue and the real concern that I have, because one of those scenarios and situations is simply this. It's like, hey, man, you've got to see. If you're not viable, it may be time for you to think about contraction or merging with other places. And that's not a popular viewpoint. That's not something that's very popular. People don't like when Brandon O'Doy says, hey, merge the park, move people who are not competitive, you know, get them out of there, you know, solidify the stronger parts and things like that. People don't like when Brandon O'Doy says that. But Germ Carter, as I bring you in on a Monday night tonight, that's how I really feel. I think that the parts that cannot make it need to, you know, contract to merge. And then, you know, you should be able to play wherever you want. And the guys that can't deal with it, they just need to move on. What do you feel, Germ? Are you there? Trying to reach Coach Carter, Coach Germ Carter. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties with him. But we're just trying to get the point across, really. The FYFL, again, is at a major, major crossroads here. And it's one of those situations where they got some big-time decisions to make, and I'm hoping to talk to Germ Carter. Germ Carter is one of the commissioners or one of the leadership at Carroll City, and we want to get his opinion on what's going on. Germ, I'm trying you again. Are you there, Coach Germ? Still just trying to wait on him, but while we wait on him to come onto the line. Long story and the short of it is, in youth football, the politics that are playing out, and we've seen this, and I've talked about this for years. I've had a youth football show since 2009. The politics that get involved with these youth football teams, programs, it's unbelievable. It's through the roof. And one of the reasons that it's so bad is that you have a scenario where people are interested in doing what's best for them as adults, and they're not really considering what's best for the kids. And that's the main problem that we're having here. And you're talking about suspending kids in this bylaw that's being proposed by the FYFL. The FYFL, one of the parks in the league, says suspend the kids for the year. Let's think rationally for a second. No kid in the middle of his youth football career is going to accept a suspension. They're going to go to one of the other five or six leagues that exist in South Florida. So if this bylaw passes, what's ultimately going to happen is these teams are going to walk out of the league and they're going to go across the street to somewhere else. And that's really what you're facing right now. And so you have to think to yourself, hey, do we really honestly want to lose kids over the fact that a few people are complaining about the fact that, you know, they have kids and they ought to be on other places? And that's the thing that I just don't understand. But I think I've got Germ Carter now to speak on this. Germ, say hello. Welcome into Hotbed Radio.
What's up, bro? You can hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yep. Awesome.
You hear me now?
So,
all right. No, I was on my other phone. My other phone was tripping, man. What's up, bro? What's going on, Hotbed World? What's good?
Hey, you got it right now. Germ, center stage, FYFL, the bylaw meeting is taking place right now. I kind of set it all the way up. And, of course, you know,
okay.
FYFL, I think, is one of the most competitive youth football leagues in the country, let alone
exactly.
Maybe the most competitive down here in South Florida, at least. Unlimited football,
exactly.
The only league that's strictly unlimited from top to bottom in South Florida. Which was a groundbreaking thing that they did last year. But just break down this whole bylaw thing, because Hotbed World really wants to try to understand what's really happening and what's taking place right now at Joe Carter Park as the meetings are being held.
Well, they have they're actually voting on two different bylaws. The one bylaw is basically an uproar about the Lauderhill lines coming in. Is that law? That bylaw basically states a new program, which they are coming into the FYFL this year, cannot get kids from existing FYFL park. They're voting on that tonight. Also, they're voting on. Also, they're voting on basically a bylaw that was a law, but it had no penalty. Basically, they were saying that kids couldn't follow coaches. So, say if I leave, only child that could follow me is my own child. If any child followed me that played for me, it was just saying that it was wrong. But they didn't have a penalty to it being, they're just saying it's wrong. Like, basically, if you do something wrong, your mama say, with no, yeah, didn't have a penalty. Like, if your mama say, if you do something wrong, I'm going to get you. But you don't know if she's going to beat you, punish you, whatever. It was basically that kind of law. You don't know what the consequence was. So last year they came up with a one-time $50 fine. So now this year, all of a sudden, that they feel like certain parks, mainly the Chiefs, are getting the momentum of, okay, we're going to start getting top-notch coaches, top-notch kids, whatever, whatever. Now is, oh, we need to amend that. We need to make it well, basically like a death penalty. The kid's suspended for the whole entire year. Whatever kid do it, like, they suspended for the year and the coach is fine. That's what they basically trying to make
it. That's just incredible.
Yes, a kid is suspended for the entire year.
And I was breaking this down earlier, Jerm, while we were having some technical difficulties, but I explained that a lot of the Lauderhill kids left the Lauderhill program only because they wanted to play in the league, but Lauderhill was not allowed into the league, so they went to Pop Warner, and a lot of kids didn't want to go to Pop Warner with Lauderhill, and a lot of kids probably couldn't make the Pop Warner wait. So now that the league has allowed, or it seemingly allowed, Lauderhill to get back into the game, it's one of those situations where the kids want to go home. They're not Fort Lauderdale Hurricane kids. They're not late, you know, Lauderdale Lake kids. But the kids want to go back to Lauderhill where they started at and where they've been playing their youth football. And now they're being told, no, they can't do that.
And that's what all us were saying. Well, it's been rumored. I can't say if it's true or not, but it sounded like it has substance to it. It was rumored that all the teams got together last year and basically were saying, we're going to vote that Lauderhill don't get in the league, force them to go other places, meaning to other leagues that wouldn't be able to take top-notch kids. A lot of their top-caliber kids were bigger kids. So if they went to Pop Warner, Extreme, or NYFL, or any other of them leagues, they wouldn't be able to have them heavy kids, and then those kids will have to sit around with nothing to do but go to Northwest Broward, Lauderdale Lakes, Hurricanes, you know, Falcons, whatever. So supposedly that's what happened. I can't say it did or didn't. I don't know. That's what the rumor was. Now that all those kids were at those parks, now this year, coincidentally, yeah, we're going to vote them in the league. But we got their kids, and then we could use the bylaws against them, basically saying you're a new program. Those kids can't play for you. Them coaches can't go over there to you. But basically, those kids were a lot of here kids. Those coaches were a lot of here coaches. You understand what I'm saying? So I can see both points of view. My whole thing with the whole bylaws and rules and all that is what I posted today. I'm for rules, I'm for regulations, I'm for structure. But don't pick and choose what rules you want to apply. Don't pick and choose what things you want to enforce and not enforce when it don't fit certain people. You understand what I'm saying? Because if these rules were in effect last year, they should have been enforced last year. The year before that, the same thing. You had programs, kids, parks, teams that did this here, but since they weren't quote-unquote a threat or they wasn't quote-unquote a powerhouse program or a team, nobody even brung it up. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But now that you see people going to the Chiefs, okay, you still have the jokes. Oh, we the Rams. We didn't do nothing. All the hype last year, you won one title. But they don't break it down like I'm going to break it down to you. The reason why the Chiefs were only able to bring home that one is because they basically went by the rules. Damn near every town, every coach had teams from NYFL, which was pretty much all Opa-locka,
and
you had AYFL coaches. So he basically went by the rules, and it cost him. Now, this year, he's saying, okay, if the rule is a $50 fine, now I could go after Coach Durham, who I really wanted. Now I could go after Coach Hosher, who I really wanted. Now I could go after a couple of the other Coach Buddy Belly, who I really wanted, who I was trying to target last year, but they used the rules against me, and I wasn't able to get them coaches. Now I'm able to get them coaches. They here. I'm ready to pay my $50 fine. Now you're telling me, oh, we need to vote on it. And that's the issue. Because why? My odd thing is, keep it where it was. Keep it the $50 fine. Let us pay the $50 fine, and let us get to playing football. We the Rams. We ain't got nothing. We ain't done nothing to suss this. We don't mean nothing. Okay, well, let us play football. Let us just play football.
It's one of those situations.
It's not guaranteed
where
that we're going to win nothing anyways.
It's not guaranteed
that we're going to win nothing. So, let us play football.
Right. Now, here's the thing I'm curious about. It seems to me that this is an up north issue, meaning Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes, Lauderdale Lakes, Northwest Broward, Fort Lauderdale Falcons, pretty much everybody but Boynton Beach, because those are the only teams that could really benefit from these two laws that you're talking about passing, which is preventing Lauderhill from coming into the league, one, and two, saying that the kids cannot leave the parks and go somewhere else because the new team cannot accept them, which, you know, Lauderhill, you know, would very, very, they would be, I don't think they would be broken by it, but it would be very difficult for them to be a viable team in the league from year one. But it seems like the North Parks are all getting together, even though on the internet everybody is saying, oh, yeah, bring them in, we're going to smash them.
And that's the
thing
that I'm
saying. Whatever the case may be.
And
but there's a lot of fear going on. And let's keep it real.
And that's
let's
my point. Don't
concerned.
Say
the reality
don't
of the
say one thing
is,
on the page. Don't say one thing on the page and in the group, and then get in these meetings and do some other crap. That's why I say everybody keeps saying they keeping it 100. That 100 button gets used so much. I say, well, let's go do this. Tell them to make the vote open. That way, there you can see who voted, who wasn't 100, and who is 100. Only person that directly spread out said we going against it was Northside. Northside said they won against it. I think they said in the meeting that Hurricanes voted and Northside seconded, or vice versa, however that went. Because pretty much the rule about the coaches following the players is more of a Kansas City thing that everybody's saying. As far as the new club getting the teams, is more of a Lauderhill, Fort Lauderdale Hurricanes thing. They basically saying that the Hurricanes will be affected the most by Lauderhill being able to get, because coaches and kids will leave the Hurricanes program and go to Lauderhill and Lakes too, because they say Lakes is making a big stink about it as well. They say both of those basically the two teams that they're saying. I don't know. I'm just what they're saying, that Lakes and the Hurricanes are the main two programs that's making a big stink about Lauderhill coming in and Lauderhill getting kids. You know what I'm saying? But when you hear the people talking, Lauderhill ain't nothing. Lauderhill gonna get swept. Okay, well, let them get what they want. That'd be my whole thing. And then a lot of these bylaws is bylaws that went on before mankind. Like, all that crap old. Get that crap out of there. Because all of us know, new age, new millennium. Kids play for coaches. It ain't like back in the days when you had every pound had a certified coach. So you ain't mind letting that coach up go to that next pound. Because you know the coach above him was a certified coach. Now, everybody on these parks, damn near everybody for themselves. So you want your kids, this your core group of kids, you built these kids. That's the same thing, like I get a pet peeve about everybody talking about Roe. Roe was with Naquan when Naquan didn't even want to play football. And he built him. And Roe used to get his butt kicked a lot at the beginning. But now you done built them team. Now y'all coming with the finished product. Oh, he following kids. He this, he that. Okay, you wasn't around when them kids wasn't winning nothing. You understand what I'm saying? That irks me with these coaches about you following kids. Okay, but these your kids. It ain't like I was at 10U and somebody gave me a championship team and I'm following them up. I had these kids since they were 4 or 5 years old. They my kids. They stay at my house. They sleep at my house. They eat my food. I go to their school. I buy them clothes. I buy them shoes. I do things for them kids that they don't have. A lot of these kids don't have a father. I don't have a father figure. I don't have a role model. But I don't feel the need to say, okay, let me go on Facebook and go into details of this kid here. The reason he followed me is because his daddy in jail. I'm the only father
right.
figure he knows. I go out to his school. I do his progress reports. He come to my house on Sundays, and I tutor him in math. That ain't your business. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of these kids, when
right.
you say they're your kids, they're my kids, not meaning, oh, I'm going to kidnap the kids from the program. No, they're my kids. I
right.
raised these kids. A lot of these kids, I'm on their emergency contact list. And everybody who knows me, when they know with me, I do things with my kids like now. Beach parties, pool parties, whatever. Skating, bowling. They're like a lot of these FYFL events where I'm trying to bring Dade, Broward, Palm Beach. It was a time where people from Broward wouldn't even come to an event in Dade. Like last
right.
year when I had that big beach picnic thing at Olita River State Park. The Fort Lauderdale people were telling me, we ain't coming to Miami. We don't got time for that bullshit. So, excuse me. But I told
Family
them, y'all coming on my face. If I tell you you good, you good. So I expect the same thing. For a lot of hurricanes have a beach bash, I'm there. By myself, with my son. I think I'm good. I should be good. They have an event, a skating event. East Boynton had a bowling party. I feel if I go up there by myself with my son, I'm good. A lot of their lakes had an event at their park. I went there by myself with my son. You understand what I'm saying? We're supposed to
right.
be all one. And our number one thing is these kids. Forget all this crap. These kids don't care nothing about who coaching, who here, who there. They don't care about none of that. If
no,
I get little Brandon
right,
from
yeah.
6 years old and Brandon Odor, he feel I'm safe with his son at 6, he going to want me with his son at 7, he going to want me with his son at 8, he going to want me with his son at 9, and so on and so forth. What's the problem?
Right,
what is the problem?
Because right.
at the end of the day,
you're
it's the parents.
Right.
The parents have to be the one that say, okay, such and such is leaving the Ravens, and okay, Coach Herschel is leaving the Ravens, he going to the Chiefs. Okay, this Brandon Odor, 13-year-old son, I might like the Ravens, Paul. I might like the Ravens program. I might like the people who run the program. I don't want my son to follow Herschel. You don't have to follow Herschel. That's the thing I keep trying to do. Y'all act like these people are being kidnapped and took somewhere they don't
right.
want to go. They have a choice. It's their parents. So guess what? If
they
Brandon don't want his 13-year-old son to go down the street to the Chiefs, guess what you can say? Herschel, I love you. I appreciate what you did for my son, but he's staying right here.
Right.
It ain't nothing Herschel
and
to do about
thing
that,
that, you know, Germ, that's the thing that's so interesting. It seems it seems like the people are saying with these rules that they're proposing, these parents don't know what's best for their children. And I just don't
exactly.
think that that's always the case. But I think, Germ, and before we let you go, because we got to move on to the West Coast, we got several callers on the line for West Coast. We're getting ready to go out west for our Upland Combine in California, Southern California, and Scottsdale, Arizona Combine coming up this Sunday, April 26th at 1:30 p.m. Chaparral High School. But the thing that I think bears mentioning and repeating again really is what you said regarding a lot of these kids, particularly in the South Florida community, who have coaches that look out for them like they're their own son. And so you make a bylaw that a kid can't follow a coach to a new park. Well, how is that kid going to be able to participate in athletics? How is that kid going to stay
exactly.
off the street? Because that
exactly.
that coach, that father figure, that mentor,
and they're also using that. And they're also
you know,
using that,
that
person
is now being
smaller program
being able to serve that role that they've been serving for so long. And I don't
exactly.
think anybody
but
in that
also
room
they're
is
saying,
thinking about that.
But this is what they're also saying, that, oh, it's going to hurt the smaller programs. It's going to hurt the North Side. It's going to hurt
but
the four out of them
Falcons.
Can I say
one thing
it's going to hurt the Bunch
Parks.
And I say, what?
Yeah.
And that's what I put on my post today. I said, you know what you do? The first year of the FYFL, the Miami Guards Ravens, the powerhouse Ravens, they were down. They didn't have not one team in the Super Bowl. Not one.
Right.
And you know what happened? Melvin, Robinson, Rob Mack, they sat back and watched that and said, yo, this our program. This our Paul. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to get back involved. We're going to get back out there to that program, and we're going to build that program. We're going to beat the street. We're going to get these coaches. We're going to rebuild this program and put the Ravens back on the map. And 3 years later, what happened? Six teams in the Super Bowl. That's what I'm telling all these people who's sitting back. Oh, what about the little programs? Get you somebody who run your program with a cachet. Get you somebody to run your program that's a hustler.
With a little bit
that's
of swag.
That's a grinder. That's going to work. That's going to go like a Richie.
Ability.
A Richie who's going to come over here from PPO and turn the downtrodden Rams into a program in the FYFL. Get to work. Get off your – a guy actually quoted me and said, that's not being lazy. It's what you know. It's who you know. That is being lazy. It's being lazy because – just like a program like Northside, for example, you had a championship coach, Sean Horn. He's a back-to-back national champion. He was a part of that program. Go get somebody like him and bring him to run your program. And then guess what? He can reach out to a Javon Ferguson. You understand what I'm saying? He could reach out to an OJ. He probably could have reached out to Joe and Rob and get them to not bypass y'all to go to the Miami Guns Ravens. Y'all could have had them probably at Northside. You
absolutely
understand what I'm saying?
And
he probably could have kept a deep grit there.
Let me just say this, Germ. And while you're talking about Northside, and this is to everybody in Hot Bear World and our FYFL listeners and everybody nationally, I believe this, whether it's in South Florida where I'm from or where I live, and all the way out to Malibu, okay? The reality of the situation is this. You football organizations run like any other organization in this country. The best of the best, the people who had the most networks, the most resources, the most ability to attract financial things, those are the people who are going to win. It's not about fairness in a sense like that. Our democracy is not set up like that. McDonald's is everywhere. They can put a restaurant on every block and still succeed. They're going to sell out because the product and the brand is top-notch. That way they started from the bottom, but they grew. If you want to do that
exactly.
From an organizational standpoint, you've got to do that. You can't make rules and legislation and think that's going to make you more competitive. You have to be an attractive
exactly.
place for someone to bring their children for 18 weeks out of a year. And if you're not getting it done, if you're not winning, and you don't have good coaches that are you know, putting a good product out in the field, if you don't have good uniforms, up-to-date equipment, sponsors that are providing opportunities for your players, you know, you're just not going to be good, and it doesn't matter what law you legislate. The north sides of the world have no excuse. They're in Liberty City in FYFL. Everybody else in FYFL is in Pop Warner in Liberty City. They could have gone out and gotten who.
And that's what. And that's what. That's another thing they said as well. And that's another thing they said as well.
You know, the north sides, the bunch parks, you know, no, none of these people have an excuse. Even Port St. Lucie, they're up there by themselves. They could go get anybody up there to play for them. And
it's a lot of talent
in Miami.
And it's a lot of talent in Fort Pierce.
We're the only organization that does that. They can pull from Port St. Lucie, from Fort Pierce. I'm not going to cry for these
exactly.
parts. I'm not going to cry for these people. You
exactly.
know, either get it together or shut down, point blank and period. That's how I feel.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what you need to do. Get on your grind. They're like I say, the Northside people complaining. They're saying, oh, well, those kids in the city are Pop Warner, and they're brainwashed by Pop Warner. Okay, that's your due diligence. Get out there and get the work. Get out there and tell them what Northside has to offer. Get out there and sell Northside as a program. Same thing with Bunch Park. Bunch Park, you have a whole gang of talent in Bunch Park, and why you got your kids at North Dade? Why you got your kids at the Chiefs? Why you got your kids at the Ravens? Why you got your kids at Opa-locka Hurricanes, Opa-locka Panthers? You Bunch Park, you right in the middle of a hotbed of talent. You have so much talent in that Bunch Park, Miami Gardens area right there. Get off your butt and get on your grind.
I agree with you.
Get 100%. On your grind.
But listen, I got.
Get off your butt
go.
And get on your
go.
Grind.
We can talk about this all day, Jerm. We can talk about this all day, but
exactly.
I got to get out to the West Coast. Hey, I appreciate you for
all right,
calling
bro.
In, man. Give your shouts out before we let you go. Go ahead and shout out who you shouting out tonight.
Shout out to the whole FYFL, the movement, man. It's not going to stop what we're doing. It's not going to stop us, and it's not going to stop our grind. Shout out to the homie Freezy Prince, Flo. Make sure y'all go get that new Flo album, that My House, man, is out there right now. Y'all support that there, man. Shout out to the whole Chiefs, man, the Miami Guards Chiefs. We here. We ain't going nowhere. Shout out to my 9U team, all my coaches, my players, my team moms, the cheer coaches, everybody at the Chief Nation. We here. Let's go. Lum, 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 lum. Appreciate you, bro. Good luck on the show, man.
right, Jerm. Thanks, man. That's Jerm Carter from Miami Gardens Chiefs holding down, talking about this crazy, crazy bylaws issue. And, you know, I'm going to do some articles on this. This is really, really a big sticking point. But right now I'm going to switch gears very quickly to bring on the man of the hour, Thomas Fleming, Coach Thomas Fleming, Football Hotbed West Coast Director. He's the man in the West Coast, straight out of Upland, California. Coach Fleming, we got a lot to talk about. We got an extended show tonight, so everybody on the West Coast, I know it's young out there. It's only about 6 o'clock on the West Coast, so we got an extended show. We're going to go as long as we can tonight to get everybody on. But just tell us, give us a preview of this coming weekend, starting on Saturday with the Upland Combine.
Thanks for having me on. Yes, it's about 6:15 on the West Coast. So I'm sitting here at Upland High School Stadium right now because I got the high school kids that I coach getting ready to go on the field in a second. We got a lot planned coming up on Saturday, April 25th, starting with our West Super Regional Combine in the morning. And then after that, we're moving into our 7-on-7 Combine Series Tournament.
Definitely. So, you know, with that whole situation, just give everybody the registration details, what they need to know, and get everybody set for those who are listening who want to be involved and not currently registered.
Please, everybody that is looking to register right now, it's still $40. Go to footballhotbed.com, click on the Combine, All-American Combine icon, and just simply fill out the information with your player's name, size, grade they're in, and pay the $40, and you'll receive your confirmation through PayPal. On the day of the event, we are accepting walk-ups, but it will be $50. No exceptions for anybody that walks up on the day of the event, but you want to get registered so we can have a smooth registration for check-in. Starts at 8 o'clock a.m. Upland High School, 565 West 11th Street in Upland, California, 91786.
No, definitely. Hey, it's going down. Right now, I want to bring on Coach Simon Margich, and his son Simon is going to be participating in the Combine. What's going on, Simon? Welcome into Hotbed Radio. It's a Hotbed World.
Thank you.
Just tell us a little bit. You were featured on Hotbed Radio earlier this quarter. Tell us a little bit about what you are as a football player, where you're playing right now, and your excitement level for the Combine this weekend.
I'm very excited. I'm going to be playing long snapper for special teams, tight end, maybe a little bit of offensive line. Looking to have a good time, good combine, get some good work in. Have a good time.
Okay, and have you ever participated in a combine like the one that we're putting on this weekend?
This will be my first time with anything like this. I'm excited. I'm ready to get some work in.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that you're coming in as a long snapper. What other positions do you play on the football field?
Tight end and offensive line.
Okay, and then give us your height and weight.
I am 5'11 and 170.
Okay, great. And Simon, I know you're out there in the Upland area, but where do you expect to go to high school? Where can we look for you next year as an eighth grader getting ready to go into high school?
I'm planning on attending Upland High.
Okay, great. So we look for you to, you know, begin to make your way up to Upland High School. Any idea where you're going to be? Are you going to start on varsity, JV, or have you talked to the coaches about any of that?
Hopefully, my dream right now is to long snap on varsity my freshman year. I've been working out with Chris Rubio, been working hard at that, hopefully getting my talent up to where I can play on varsity. Maybe I could put on some weight and height and, go from there. Other than that, freshman ball for just regular positions and stuff.
Absolutely. All right, well, Simon, we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend. It's a Hotbed World. Take care. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
All right, right now I want to bring on another player, Coach Thomas. I want to bring on Keith Savage, I believe his first and last name is. Keith, welcome into Hotbed Radio. It's a Hotbed World.
Hello.
Yes. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Give us your name and who you play for.
My name is Keith Savage. I play for the Lakeland Lancers. Pop Warner. I'm going to junior midget this year. I play running back and outside linebacker. 5'6", and I weigh 140 pounds. And we won the whole West Coast Regional Championship last year.
Okay, congratulations on that. And Keith, what grade are you in?
7th.
Okay, 7th grader. Going into 8th grade, looking to impress the scouts out there this weekend to earn an All-American invite. What has you excited about this combine that's coming up this weekend?
The competition level and how the scouts get to look at me and stuff.
Okay, great. And you mentioned you play running back. Do you play any other positions, or are you primarily a running back?
I play outside linebacker. But my primary position is running back.
Sounds great. Excellent. And you're playing junior midget this coming year in Pop Warner. Go ahead and tell us the team you're playing for again.
I play for Lakeland Lancers, Pop Warner.
Okay, great. So last year you won the regional. Did you get a chance to go to Walt Disney World?
Yes.
And how did you guys do out there?
We won.
You won the entire national championship?
No, you guys played the best in the West.
Oh no, we played the best of the West. They didn't. We didn't go to Florida last year because I guess the Hawaii had our ticket.
Oh, okay, got you. So this year might be the year you go to Florida. Well, Keith, we're excited about you participating in our combine this weekend. And before we let you go, why don't you go ahead and give us a couple of shout-outs?
I want to shout out my coach, my head coach, Coach David Bacalar, my assistant coach, Coach Mo, and my mentor, John Payne.
Okay, great. Keith, thank you for being on the show tonight. It's a Hot Bear World.
Thank you.
All right, Coach Fleming, you know, we had two players that's pretty excited about the combine. Tell us what you know about either of those players.
Simon Samardzija. I mean, you know, that's the cool thing about working with youth football players. They're a little short with their words, which is, you know, how we like it. But Simon, tremendous player, going to be a freshman at Upland High School next year. Like you said, he's probably right now he's ranked one of the top long snappers in the country for his age group. So definitely looking to earn a spot on the varsity level. Competing as a long snapper, and then as his body continues to develop, you know, his dad is around 6'3", played with Bruce Matthews, that's his godfather, so I'm looking good things for him in the future. And then Keith Savage is, you know, one of the first players that we had sign up for Football Hotbed to register. I've looked at his film over and over again. The kid is an absolute beast with the ball in his hands. I'm looking for him to do great things at the combine this weekend. You know, great support from his mother, Dee Savage. Spoken to them numerous of times, and I wanted to definitely get him on the radio tonight. So I'm looking for, you know, those two to be great standouts, and obviously for Savage to, you know, earn one of them golden tickets this weekend.
Absolutely. We got golden tickets that are going to be earned, not given. We're looking for the best of the best in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Those are current 5th, 6th, and 7th graders. The All-American game has been set. It will be January 2nd, 2016, Jupiter High School in Jupiter, Florida. That's just north of West Palm Beach here in South Florida. And everybody will be flying into West Palm Beach Airport. It's a great airport to fly into in South Florida because, Coach Fleming, it's one of those situations where even during the December months where it's cold everywhere else, it's warm here in South Florida. That's one of the reasons we've got the game down here. It's the Mecca hotbed. Of course, it's based in South Florida. And not only that, this area sends the most athletes to Division I and the pro ranks as any area in the country. So it's awesome that these athletes get a chance to come to the hotbed of football and play
against the best of the best from all over the nation. Jupiter High School is an amazing new facility, excellent turf field that hasn't even been played on yet. As a matter of fact, the first game on it will be this year when Jupiter plays their spring game. So it's a very new field. It's going to be in excellent condition. It's completely flat. The turf is amazing. And we're excited about having our Hotbed All-American game there. We received a sponsorship from the Palm Beach County Sports Commission. So we're excited about that partnership. We've got a great hotel rate for everybody participating. I mean, it's just going to be a great time, man. I'm really, really excited about checking out some of this West Coast talent that we've got coming out, looking to hand out a lot of golden tickets to the great athletes out there. And I'm going to put you on the spot right now, Coach Fleming. I want to see how many golden tickets you think we're going to be handing out this weekend. We handed out only 5 out here in South Florida. But I just want to see, we're going to the West Coast. How many golden tickets do you expect that we'll be able to hand out this weekend?
It's hard to say. I mean, we have a lot. I mean, I really do mean a lot of talented kids that are coming out that, you know, play on some of the top 707 teams or, you know, that have been a part of, you know, many specialty teams and all-star teams. And we got kids coming from as far as Washington, you know, to be a part of this combine, as well as Arizona and Las Vegas. And to put it at a modest number, I think we should see about 25 to 30.
Okay, good, 25 to 30. Well, let's get to a couple of the coaches who are on the line right now. First, I want to bring in Coach Gray from the Cerrito Steelers. Coach Gray, welcome into Hotbed Radio. It's a Hotbed World. You're on with Brandon O'Doy and Thomas Fleming, our West Coast Regional Director. What's going on, Coach?
Nothing much. How y'all feeling today, boss?
Oh, man, we're feeling great. Good. It's a great day. It's a Hotbed World. What's on your mind tonight, Coach?
Oh, man, you know, I'm just checking in, man, ready to rep the town, man. You know, I'm the president, the boss man over here in Cerritos, you know, repping the Steelers. Also, my two-tone all-star team, the Buckeyes, you know, we about to get in the Hotbed tournament to turn it up, you know what I mean, to show up and show out, rip it up, you know.
Absolutely, and you're competing in, I believe, the 6th and 7th grade division.
Or
5th
and 6th.
5th and 6th grade division. Thank you for the correction. You've been going head up with the IE Ducks, but Coach Dre, this is the real deal right here, the Hotbed Invitational.
Yeah.
Who's gonna come out on top? Because I need you to put it on the line right now in front of everybody in the national audience and just let us know what's going to go down this weekend, because you know some other teams have a lot to say about IE Ducks, Team Blackout, all these other teams. Everybody's thinking they're gonna come away with the trophy, the Hotbed Trophy. But what do you have to say about it, Coach Dre?
Straight up, no cuts. Two-tone Buckeyes, man, we coming out on top. Period, point blank. You know what I mean? It's all love in the city, man. It's a gang of competition, and it's all respect and it's all love. You know what I mean? You got the Irish over here. You know what I mean? We repping two-tone as well. You got the Buckeyes. You know what I mean? You got Blackout. You know what I mean? Black Ops. Hey, man, it's a gang of heat out here in Cali, man. You know, and at the end of the day, we all come together, we put it together, you know what I mean, and put on the show, man. We coach our boys up, man. We get them this great coaching as well as exposure, you know what I mean, and that's what it's about right now, you know. Hey, but I just want to give a shout-out to a few of my big dogs right now, you know what I mean. I got Elijah Brown, kid 10 years old, man, with a cannon. 10 years old, remember that. You're going to see him, and they're going to be like, oh, he's 12, whatever, whoop-de-whoop. But the kid 10. With a cannon throwing with accuracy and precision, you know what I mean? I got another hog over there, Dalen Austin, running back. Another 10-year-old, man, with hella speed and about to rip it up, you know? I got a receiver, you know what I mean? They going to underestimate him, you know what I mean? Little short dude, Asian, but got hella hands and routes, you know what I mean? He coming to get it in. Not to mention, we got the young star, Anthony Robinson. I'm pretty sure y'all done heard about him, a track star with hands, you know what I mean? Once he gets the ball, it's a wrap, you know? So, I mean, that's just a few, not to forget my boy Artis Coleman over there as well, man. You know, we coming out, man, and we finna show out.
Now, Coach Dre, this is Coach Fleming. How's it going?
All right, and yourself?
Pretty good. Now, I saw a lot of you guys out there, Team Hustle, Buckeyes IE Ducks this week at the Best of the Best tournament out in AB Miller. A lot of you guys walked away with championship. A lot of you guys walked away with championship trophies in multiple divisions over this past weekend. And, you know, it truly is going to be another showdown on the West Coast. Just give us a pretty much an idea of, you know, you guys have been going against each other, battling ever since Pylon in Vegas. And, you know, you're going to face IE Ducks. You're going to face Black Ops. You're going to face one-on-one Warriors. What are you looking for as far as, like, the competition and how much your team has grown since that Las Vegas Pylon tournament?
Man, I'm going to tell you, the competition level, it's only going to raise. You know, it's not going to get lower, you know. Like I said, man, I got hella respect over there for Keithy and the Ducks, you know what I mean? Anthony Beavers, the kid's a freak of nature, man. He's a monster, you know what I mean? That's the top 12U receiver in the nation, period, you know what I mean? I put whatever on that, you know what I mean? You also got his cousin over there, Damon Williams, you know what I mean? Middle linebacker, dude's a monster, you know what I mean? But I'm going to tell you, since that Pylon tournament, you know, we was the first team to score on him, man. We scored on him in both games that we played, you know what I mean? Let me mention that, you know. And it was tight games, both games. And I had a few 10-year-olds. Let me give a shout-out to my 10-year-olds, too, that's playing up, you feel me? Lil Dre, that's my son. Dude over there doing his shit. I'm proud of you, boy. I love you, you know. Like Daylon Austin, kid right there, man. He was getting handled by what you call it, by the linebacker from the Ducks, Damon Williams, you know what I mean? But that right there didn't deter him. He came back out even more focused, and he been killing shit in these tournaments, you know what I mean? That just made that kid that much more tougher. So now, based off of what happened out there, you know, going at it with them getting us better, you know, we just finna come with a whole different scheme, you know what I mean? Change a few things up, man, and take advantage of these mismatches, you know?
All right, Coach. Thanks for calling in tonight. I look forward to, you know, always seeing you out in the field. Representing
all
the Buckeyes. Congratulations on becoming a new president of Cerritos.
Thank you.
On that. And, you know, wish you well in the future and can't wait to see you guys on Saturday.
Absolutely. Hey, special shout out to my board, man, the Cerritos Steelers board. It's Cerritos and nothing. We don't know nothing about no Hornets. You know what I mean? Them some perpetrators perpetrating a fraud. You feel me? Two-tone or nothing, baby. Let's get it.
All right, Coach Dre. Appreciate you for calling in, man. It is a family show, so the next time you call in, definitely lay off the profanity. But we're looking forward to seeing you this weekend, man. It goes down. I want to bring on Coach Duncan right now, representing as well. Coach Duncan, welcome into Hot Bear Radio. It's the Hot Bear World. Who you representing, Coach Duncan?
Man, I'm representing Moreno Valley, California, representing this whole Inland Empire, and most importantly, last but certainly not least, representing the Hustle family. Sports and entertainment, man. We do it for the kids. It's bigger than football.
Okay, so just what's your involvement this weekend? We got the combine coming up. Are you involved in any kind of way? And just let us know what you're doing as far as that's concerned. Up in high school, April 25th, it goes down, 8 a.m. registration, Southern California, the West Coast Regional Select Football Hotbed All-American Combine.
Man, I feel like I have some of the most elite athletes on the West Coast, and I'm bringing them out to showcase their talents for the world to see. I have a 12U team that got invited to compete in the invitation, only 7-on-7. So my whole roster, 14, 5th, 6th, and 7th graders will be out there, you know, going hard, trying to represent for Moreno Valley, California, and represent for the Hustle.
No doubt about it. Hey, Coach Thomas Fleming is on the line as well. Holler at him for a quick second, man. And, you know, we're looking forward to it because the competition is going to be crazy this weekend.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Coach Duncan, why don't you give everybody a little insight about you were also at the Best of the Best tournament. You got to get the IE Ducks in the championship game, and you let them get away with that trophy. And I know you definitely want to see the IE Ducks again at the Hotbed Tournament.
Man, just like I said in my speech in the post game, man, I take my hat off to Keefe. The IE Ducks is definitely a top-flight organization. But, you know, I got a bunch of MoVal Falcons on my side. And the Moreno Valley Falcons Inland Empire Junior All-American Football Organization is a top-flight organization as well. You know, Keefe got that one. But like I said, see you next week. Can't wait. So I'm counting down backwards to April 25th to bring my boys out there to go get it again.
Yeah, it's definitely going down. I know Keefe is on the line now. Said, he just texted me, said that he's on. You guys, you know, put on a show. You definitely showed me what you promised me, telling me that you had some type 5 kids. I can't wait to get them on the field for the combine portion and as well as in the tournament again to really, you know, pay attention to what's going on the field. But, you know, Coach Duncan, you've been a pleasure to work with the last couple of years, couple of weeks, getting you guys involved and on board with this tournament. And I look forward to seeing you out there on Saturday.
I appreciate that, Coach Fleming. It's definitely going to be a pleasure to be out there. One thing that I definitely want to leave on everybody's mind is the children that compete for my organization in tackle and in the 7-on-7, they're scholar athletes, man. School is first. Academics come first. They're great young men. You know, they're an asset to our community. And all we're trying to do is empower them and encourage them to change the world for the better, man.
Absolutely.
Most definitely,
Coach.
It's been a pleasure having you on.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Right now, I definitely got to go and bring on Coach Keith. Keefe, man, what's going on representing the IE Ducks, man? You heard Coach Duncan, man. He wants some get back, man. What do you have to say about it, man? This weekend it's going down, the 7-on-7 and the All-American Combine.
I mean, as it should, he should want some get back. You know, we're the two top organizations in the IE, so you know, we definitely want to get it in and put on a good show again like we did Saturday.
Absolutely. Just how does it feel? You always the hunted team coach. You always have the team that, you know, everybody wants to try to knock off. That's got to be a lot of pressure on you and your kids. Or is it any pressure? What's the deal? How do you feel about it? And, you know, where do you stand coming into this weekend?
Not for me. I don't have to play. So, you know, I tell the kids all the time, it's hard to be a Duck. Because, you know, you are going to get everybody's best, and you're going to, you know, everybody's going to come after you, and they're going to definitely compete. And where we stand this weekend, we played in two tournaments. We won both of them. We played two games in our Jeff tournament. We won both of them, and what we got to look forward to is in, you know, this tournament, we were missing two of our better players, you know, that wasn't there. So now we'll be at full strength this week, and it's going to be even harder to beat us. It's going to be even harder to beat us this week.
Wow, okay, so you got some other additional things up your sleeve. Say what's up to Coach Fleming tonight. He's on the line with us as well.
What up, Coach?
What's up, Coach?
Not much, man. Just making sure you know you got our trophy, right?
Yeah, I got the trophy. I talked to you and Coach DJ. He said you promised him if y'all get this one, you're going to let him keep this one, right?
when we get this one, he's going to keep that one.
Okay, now one thing I've always wanted to ask you, I mean, you know, I've written a lot of, you know, features on you and a lot of the kids that you have. With such a large talent pool of kids that you're working with, I've been to you guys' practices. I know they're super competitive, you know, at every age level. You train them to get ready for the next age level. I've constantly heard you guys, you know, drilling to these kids' heads, you know, like, I want you to play like you're already in high school level. You teach them, I want you to play like you're at the college level. So with that level of competition that you have on your team, how hard is it for you to balance out playing time and you know, who's going to go where and how that whole puzzle fits together?
I mean, a lot of times, you know, you got to know when you take a kid, you're taking the right kid. And, you know, and they know the goals of the team. It's first. A lot of these kids, you know, and that's why you look at a coach older level. So a lot of the kids have already scored 30 touchdowns and they've, you know, won MVP of their teams and did this. So now, you know, the bigger goal is to compete nationally and win a national championship. And sometimes it is, you just got to make sure you got the right pieces to the puzzle, the right kids that are willing to sacrifice and do, you know, and do all that. And what we sell is competition. We compete is next. You know, you might have been a dude on your team, but you might come over here and be able to do your job. It's next. But it's also, you don't have the pressure of having, I got to get 5 touchdowns for my team to win. Because it might be Anthony Beavers this week with 3. You know, DJ Harvey with 3 this week. Pac-Man or Sammy or, you know what I'm saying, or Ball Game or Josh. You know, we got plenty of them. Samar, we have a lot of kids that, you know, they might get off this week, you know. So
it's about finding the right pieces. If you got a selfish kid, you know, a selfish kid ain't really for the Ducks, period.
Right. And I know you guys put a lot of time and energy into it. I mean, you know, just as busy as me. It's hard to get a hold of you, but you know what keeps you going and motivated? You know about you know putting these teams together and putting your best foot forward and investing in these kids.
Man, you kid, when you win a national title, it's different than winning, you know, something local. You know, you win, you go down there and you win, so it gets indicative. So as long as kids want to keep playing for me, I'm going to keep doing it, you know. So once, you know, it's cool to build a team and from scratch and see it start to come together. Like this team right here, I think possibly could be my best team out of all my teams. Is the way they're gelling, the way we're competing, you know, right now, early, even with my team last year, we didn't win no – we won 1-7-0-7, but we played in like 4 or 5. We won the first two, and we won them in convincing fashion. So, you know, it's just long as that's, you know, in the plan of long as it's a challenge and it's something to do, I'm going to keep doing it. And the good thing is next year I won't have to rebuild a team, and I can imagine how scary this team is going to be next year after having a year together underneath their belt. Because, you know, we're competing with teams that have been together 5-6 years, and we're kind of putting the piece together in, you know, 5-6 months.
Absolutely. And one last question for you, Coach, is, you know, with the 7-on-7 and, you know, me roughly being new as the West Regional Director, I'm just amazed at, you know, how football is more and more increasingly becoming a year-round a sport. What would you say that how much 7-on-7 really contributes to your season once you get into tackle football?
It does. I mean, it contributes a lot. You got to look at it. You know, I think I got a 2-week break because I coached my last game, which was the Cali Classic, I think, at the end of January, and we were back practicing at the beginning of February. But to me, it builds timing. It's a recruiting tool for you. You know, you go to 7-on-7s. It's something you might not have on your team. It's on another team, and that person on the other team might look and say, hey, they need somebody like me on this team. And you can come. Nowadays, you have to do 7-on-7 because you won't keep your kids. So, you know, if I let Anthony Beavers go play with somebody else for 3-4 months, he builds a rapport with that coach, with that team, with everybody. And why would he leave if he builds a rapport and vice versa? So you have to me, 7-on-7 is a big part of it because now with me, I know how I do it. Is I run my offense. I don't, you know, I don't only do 7-on-7 plays. We get a chance to run our offense, build camaraderie. You know, we go to Arizona in May. That's a trip for the kids to get to know each other, hang out. We'll do the 7-on-7 there, but we'll have fun. They'll get on water slides and do all that type of stuff, you know, and build some team character together and get them together. But to me, 7-on-7 is football now. You have to do 7-on-7.
Absolutely, Coach. And, you know,
Hello?
Yeah, most definitely,
yeah,
Coach. Hey, go ahead, Thomas.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, thank Keith for, you know, coming in and calling in. Like I said, you know, he's just as busy as I am. It's hard for me to get him on the phone. But, you know, he is, you know, AYF National Coach of the Year for 2014 for a reason. And, you know, I just want to, you know, give you a personal shout-out to keeping up the good work and, you know, training kids and being a positive role model out here in the IE.
No, I appreciate it. Shout out y'all for the tournament. I can't wait. I'm excited. Definitely want to give a shout out to Andre Taylor. You know, he's taking over that organization, man. It's tough to be a president and coach and have a full time job and be a dad. And he definitely had them kids playing up and balling. You know, and we had to work to get that win over him. So you know that I think he's 10 or 11 years. They're gonna be a problem in the tournament.
Hey, no doubt. Hey, Keith, before we let you go, I need, and I'm excited about you coming out here to South Florida in 2 weeks, too, because we got you locked and loaded for the quarterback showcase and wide receiver showcase, and I'm excited about you coming out here for that. But I have a question, and I've always wanted to know the answer to this. Is it Keithy? Is it Keith? What's the proper pronunciation, of your first name once and for all? Let everybody in High Bed Radio know so we can all be on the same page and say it correctly.
It's either or. Keithy was a nickname when I was young. It's either or. Keithy was a nickname. Like, kids call me Keithy, and some people call me Keithy, and some people call me Keith. So it's both. Keithy's a nickname. It's how my name is spelled. It's pronounced.
like all my family members and cousins and anybody, they'll call me Keefe. And then kids, you know, when I coach kids, I started out coaching my younger brother, so they always called me Keefe. So then people that know me, it just kind of stuck. So, it's either or. So you can't go wrong with either one.
Okay,
hey, oh, yeah. And I want to break some news. Huh? Go ahead.
No, it sounds good. Go ahead. You say you got something you want to break?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to break some news. When I come down there in South Florida, you know, me and Ballgame Rich is having a meeting, trying to do something big in August.
Okay, all right. So definitely Rich Ballgame, that's Coach Rich Jossier, Carroll City Commissioner, Miami Gardens, Carroll City, and you are going to be at the table. Hey, I might slide up to that table and get Football Hotbed in the middle of whatever you brothers are trying to do, because you already know it's a hotbed world. So I definitely
exactly.
want to be there at the table, in the negotiation table, when y'all sit down and had this good meeting. But I'm excited about this weekend. I'm excited about next week, and it's a hot bed world. Go ahead and give your shout out before we let you go tonight.
Man, just shout out y'all and, you know, all the kids on the team and, you know, all the coaches volunteering. And so, you know, we're going to have fun on Saturday, and that's what it's all about, competing and make the best team win on Saturday.
May the best team win indeed. Coach Keefe representing tonight on Hot Bed Radio. It's a Hot Bed World. And Coach Fleming, I've been wanting to ask him that name pronunciation situation for quite some time. So I'm glad he finally cleared that up for everybody in Hot Bed World.
Absolutely. I've been saying Keefe, and I call people, and they're like, oh, you mean Keefe? And I just started calling him Keefe, too. I just followed suit. So I'm glad he said it goes either way.
Definitely. I want to get to Lee Romero right now, one of our fifth-grade quarterback phenoms that's going to be at the Combine this weekend looking to earn a golden ticket. Leo, welcome into Hot Bed Radio. It's the Hot Bed World. How you doing tonight, Dan?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so you're one of the best quarterbacks out in the West Coast. What are you looking to do this weekend? And just talk about how excited you are for the Combine coming up.
I'm pretty excited for the Combine. Yeah, I feel, like, nervous, confident at the same time for the Combine. I feel great about it. I feel ready.
Definitely. And you've been doing a lot of 707 work with your dad. We've been keeping up with you. Just talk about how your 707 season is going and what you're looking forward to coming up. Are you participating in the tournament this weekend? And just how that's going.
Yeah, we're participating in this tournament, and we're looking forward to playing some really good teams. Me and my team have been training a lot for this tournament and trying to beat this whole tournament.
Absolutely, and talk about your Vegas experience with Pylon, what you guys did out there. I know you came up a little bit short, but just talk about what you learned from that whole experience.
It was really fun. We had a lot of fun out there. We did our best, and, yeah, it was fun.
I got Coach Fleming on the line, and I know he wants to talk to you, so say hello to Coach Thomas Fleming, our West Coast director tonight.
What's up, Leo?
Hi, Coach. What's up?
Now, I've talked to you guys, you know, more than once. You know, like I said, I've been following you. You know, you're one of the more talented fifth graders in the area out there representing Westlake. You guys are similar to the Buckeyes. You have a lot of, you know, younger kids that are playing up. And, you know, I think it's raising your level of competition. You know, you and other teammates that you have, Shea Holland, obviously are going to be ready for this tournament. But speaking on how much you guys have improved from Vegas Pylon, to now, what do you think are some of the key things that you guys are going to be ready for the tournament this weekend?
We're missing some. One key thing is that we pass, and we have great defense, and we're good at that's pretty much all.
Absolutely, and I know you guys are. Go ahead.
Oh, we're also missing our one of our key players, Jasim Reed. He's a top player.
Right. So I know you guys were down a couple of your top players due to other prior commitments, but to my understanding, you guys are going to be at full strength, and I look forward to you showing off your talents and your arm, and also leading your team in the tournament, but also competing in the combine and working with, you know, some of the top quarterback coaches in the area, Mike Estevel, Andy LeKelt, taking you guys through some quarterback drills. And I look forward to seeing you out there, Leo.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, Leo Romero, why don't you go ahead and give your shout out, Leo, before we let you go tonight. Anybody that you want to represent on tonight before we let you go.
All right. I would like to have I'd like to shout out Coach Teddy Anderson, Coach Ellis Green, and Shea Holland, and Justine Reed, and Mateo Siderman.
No doubt, man. Great job, Leo. You wouldn't know you were only a fifth grader, so congratulations. Very well spoken, Coach Fleming. He's a really talented kid as well at the quarterback position.
Absolutely. Got a cannon, working on his mechanics. Already has a slender build. Look like he's going to be a tall kid in the next coming years, but definitely looking forward to his development and seeing if he can earn one of these golden tickets on Saturday.
No doubt. Speaking of golden tickets, one will absolutely go to the son of our next guest, Coach Tony Beeves. His son, Anthony Beeves, is one of the top sixth graders in the country. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's up with you?
Not much, man. Welcome in the Hot Bear Radio. It's a Hot Bear World, man. Myself, Brandon O'Doyle, on with Coach Fleming. What's on your mind tonight, Coach? We got a big combine coming up this weekend.
Oh, not much. Shout out to you guys, man. Hot Bear World, man. Y'all make my Monday evenings go by, go by well. We having a we're gonna be in there doing our thing, enjoying the sun and having some fun, checking out all the talent in the West Coast, man. It should be a great day. We've been signed up since we first heard about it, and we're really excited, man. I really want to just get to see what my boy's 40 time in vertical is going to be like, see how he's going to compare with the other talent out in the rest of the country. I'm trying to get his numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right now he stays
absolutely
at about
we had a sixth grader that registered a 5.14 laser 40 time. So that's the high man in the building right now. We had a couple other guys that were 5.2s in sixth grade on the 40. So those are the low men in right now as far as sixth graders are concerned. So we're definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, what young Tone puts up this weekend. It's going to be a movie for sure. But just what are you doing to get prepared and get ready for the combine this weekend?
Really getting rest, you know what I mean? Because he plays lacrosse, so he practices on Fridays and plays two games on Sundays. He had the tournament on Saturday, so I just usually have him getting rest during the week. I'm about to have him get on the ladder. I'm gonna go to his house and pull the ladder out and probably do some little ladder work in his front yard, just a little work, and then maybe on tomorrow, we were thinking about going out to see my good friend Coach James Finley, who runs a Game Changers LA camp every Tuesday. We were going to take him to go out there, but I don't think I'm going to take him. I think I'm going to just let him rest up all week and stay limber and loose so that he can come out with all his full energy on Saturday morning and try to put on a show. Right now he stands at about, I think, like 5'10", about 145. And so I know when he worked out for the FBU tryout, when they had a hand time, I think he ran a 5'2". And I know my nephew Damian Williams ran like almost a 5-flat hand time or a 5-1. Him and Cameron Blanton. Cameron Blanton from Carson, he should also be there. Cameron Blanton and Damon Williams are two of the fastest sixth graders I've seen. Cameron Blanton plays for the Carson Colts. He's a real fast kid. He runs track for the forgot what team he runs for. I think it's the Shockwaves or something, but that dude is blazing speed. He plays corner receiver. And my nephew Damon Williams, he's also a speedster. But see, the thing about Damon Williams is he's about 5'7", 145, 150, and one of the fastest kids on the field. You know what I mean? So we're going to come out. It's the reason why people are giving the IE Duck Day props, man. We got some real studs out there, man, along with all the rest of them, my son, my nephew, the rest of the players, man. DJ Harvey, you know, amazing kid, man. Ball Game Brady, Pac-Man Perez, Josh Lauren. I know Coach Fleming knows Josh. Man, we got some nice kids up there. Sandy Green. Oh, man, we got some players, man. They all coming out and balling. And like Coach Keefe said, every single game they play in, somebody else steps up. If one is having an off day, the other eight are having a good day, you know?
Absolutely. Wow. Coach Tone, Coach Flynn. Coach Tone, I know you guys are always busy with the football game and stuff like that. And one thing that I was really astonished to see one day, and I thought it was, great, is that I seen Tone on Facebook with some lacrosse gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he plays for a good team. Yeah, he plays for the Santa Monica Dragons. Shout out to the Santa Monica Dragons lacrosse club, man. They're a great club. He also plays with Larry Turner, Larry Gooden. Larry Turner, Larry Gunton, same kid. He also joined the team. So those two guys are two of the best 12-year-old sixth-grade athletes in the area. Both play on the same lacrosse team. And they're trying to excel at something different. It's funny seeing them out there. These kids are like they're good at their craft in football, but they get out there in the lacrosse field, and it's a whole new world for them. So they're trying to get better. And I just love it because they're taking on challenges that's not just easy. Just that lacrosse is not easy. I don't know if you ever played it or if you ever seen it play. It is not an easy game to play. It's kind of like getting up there trying to play some tennis. If you ain't good at it, you're going to have to get good at it, you know?
Well, absolutely. I'm very familiar with lacrosse. I'm pretty sure Brandon is also being a former Northwestern athlete.
Oh, okay.
Northwestern, where my brother attended college and played football. They have the nationally ranked women's lacrosse team that they constantly win NCAA titles. But I just, thought it was a testament because obviously he'll learn good hand-eye coordination with that little ball and running around the field and just, picking up good footwork with angles and stuff like that. And I thought it was, great to see you guys, him venturing out into other sports and stuff like that and just picking up more ways to use his athletic ability that will ultimately help him with his game on the football field.
Oh, yeah. Him and Larry both out there having fun doing it. And, it's interesting because everybody really preaches, oh, man, he needs to run track. And one thing that I preach is I want my kids to be happy with everything they do. If he doesn't want to run track and he wants to play lacrosse, then he's going to play lacrosse. You know what I mean? As long as he's doing something that's positive and working towards his goals, But, yeah, it's a great thing, man. You know what? I'm happy the way this year is going so far, man. These IE Ducks, man, it's a real good team, man. And it's one of the best teams I've ever had my son on, man. And I'm just grateful that Keith reached out and gave us that invite and all the other kids just jumped on and said, let's come together and represent the West Coast, baby,
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, real quick, Tom, before we let you go and get ready to close out the show, is your son going to be able to make it to the wide receiver showcase, the National Wide Receiver Showcase, in conjunction with our quarterback showcase that's happening this next week?
You know what? Let me get in to call his mom and let me talk to Keithy, and I'm pretty sure we'll put something together. If I got to pay cash out of my pocket, man, if I got to break the bank to get him out there, I'll get him out there. On your trip, I'll get him out there.
Yeah, we definitely want to get him out to South Florida early. We definitely want him Jupiter, Florida, for the All-American game on December 30th through the January 2nd of the new year, 2016. But, we're excited to possibly have him out here next weekend and with his quarterback, Gage Grant, one of his quarterbacks, and get him in this wide receiver showcase. We got scout.com that's committed to be there and look at a lot of the athletes we have coming through. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a movie, man. Coach Tom, before we let you go, man, go ahead and give your shouts out tonight, man. We finna get out of here, man. It's another edition of Hot Bed Radio. Go ahead, Coach.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I want to give a shout out first and foremost to Annika Mitchell, the beautiful Annika Mitchell. That's Tony's mother. Man, we go through a lot, but she's a beautiful, great woman, and she helps me raise, and I help her raise these kids, man. She's a beautiful woman and a great mom. I want to give a shout out to all the coaches, man, who all know me, man, who are all well with all the kids, Shout out to all the youth football and SoCal group, Shout out to the coaches' corner. Shout out to you, Brandon O'Dell and Coach Thomas. Man, you dudes doing a great thing, man. I love calling in and listening to you guys every Monday night, man. It's great, man. And shout out to the Hot Bed World, man. It's a Hot Bed universe. If you're going to put it down this weekend, man, IE Ducks, Buddy Ducks, Duck Nation, Evil Empire, baby, we're going to take it all like we've been taking it. You know what I'm talking about? We ain't even practice. We just show up and blow people out. Come on, Buddy Ducks, baby, you coming to take that six day thing. You did?
All right, man. Thomas Fleming, closing comments, man, before we let you go tonight.
Once again, it's a Hot Bed World. It's going down this Saturday, April 25th, Upland High School, 565 West 11th Street, Upland, California. Zip code is 91786. If you need any questions, call me, 909-709-3666. Athletes all need to be checked in by 8 o'clock a.m. Please wear black shorts preferred for the combine portion. All teams, don't forget to bring your uniforms. You'll be changing for the tournament. It's going down. Special shout-out to all my sponsors, Red Devil Pizza, Juice Me, Port of Upland, Good Times, Cable Airport, Chapman Dentistry, South Pacific Financial, Loudmouth, all the local football leagues, Upland Pop Warner, Upland Draw Americans. It's going down. The place to be. Get registered now. Only $40. Don't be late. Don't miss it.
Don't miss it indeed. Oh, man. It's going to be a movie, man. It really is. It really is. It really is. It really is going to be a movie, man. But we had a great show, man. Wow. What can I say, man? Shout out to everybody that's been rocking with us since 8:30 this time. Dave Menard, everybody who called in for Arrow, Coach Jeremy Carter, Simon Samardzija, Coach Drake, Salito Stillers, Coach Keefe, Leo Romero, shout out to Keith Savage, shout out to, you know, everybody that called in, Coach Thomas Clemens, and it's going down. It's definitely a hot man world. My wife is yelling at me on the balcony of my house. My son is sick. Hope he gets better. But right now, I'm so excited, man. We're getting ready to go to the West Coast, man. It's a hotbed world. You need to be out there up in California. Hey, listen, April 25th, 8 a.m. it starts. 707 tournament is right after the All-American Combine. And then we go to Scottsdale, Arizona, April 26th. The registration begins at 1:30 p.m. Chaparral High School in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's a full West Coast hotbed extravaganza. You don't want to miss it. We are the only youth football company that's coast to coast. Don't let anybody lie. It's a hotbed world. The nation's largest multimedia platform for youth football. It's a hotbed world. All leading up to, it's all leading up to the hotbed All-American game. December 30th, 2015. The game is played on January 2nd, 2016. Jupiter, Florida. You don't want to miss it. You gotta earn your golden ticket to come to South Florida to play among the best of the best. But now, I'm Brandon O'Doy, yours truly. Sue me for what? You football? I'll holler at you guys next week, man. And I'll be in LA. It's a hotbed world, man.
Dollar, dollar, dollar.